In a world of EMS podcasters, EMS Office Hours is the only live podcast bringing you the latest topics and opinions in EMS. Turn down your scanner and turn up your speakers as we join Jim Hoffman and Josh Knapp on their latest EMS podcasting journey.
Hey, Jim Hoffman here for EMS Office Hours. This is the second half of last week's episode, and we're talking about volunteers and not necessarily the volunteers themselves or the old argument of paid versus volunteers, but talking about how oftentimes a lot of communities are paying for their volunteers through the taxes charged, homeowner taxes, things like that, that are already being paid for the volunteer services. So in essence, it's not really free for the communities that they're serving, right? And this might not be nationwide, but I think this is probably something that goes on in a lot of different areas and a lot of different communities. And Dave, in particular, has one community he focused on and gave us some pretty interesting stats when it comes to volunteers and kind of points out, really, that it's not necessarily free to have volunteers servicing your community. So let's take a listen to this. And, of course, any comments, be sure to leave them in the notes below. Talk to you soon.
You can look at it.
I have it. I'm just teasing.
You know, if you ever get around to it. So anyway, the thing that I wanted, I guess, when we're talking about volunteers and trying to segue into that and to kind of bring that topic up, it wasn't necessarily to kind of paid versus volunteer or nothing like that. What I wanted to try to focus on, because I thought Dave had a little bit of a unique perspective on it, was what I think a lot of people might think of when with volunteers is that it's free, right? And the flip side of that, there's a very big cost in running a volunteer, you know, agency. So it's not really free.
Not nearly free.
Yeah. And I understand that myself.
You're just doing this so you get hate mail. So you get some mail.
No, I'm not trying to get hate mail. I'm trying to sort of, I guess, there's an issue with volunteerism not being where it used to be. And I think with EMS, I tend to lean towards the idea that it's, you know, something that should be, attritioned out, I guess, you know, that there's such a cost involved with running it and using volunteers, and yet volunteers don't get paid. And there's, to me, in my experience in places that I've worked and listened
volunteers
to,
volunteers get paid. They get paid through every act of kindness.
And getting, you know, what I've seen, how I see volunteers operate, you know, it's not about them being professional. I feel that there's a professionalism with the volunteers. I just feel that they're at this time and in this, the way that it runs is that there's not really enough of them or enough people doing it to fulfill, you know, the need anymore. But yet the cost is still there because, you know, in theory and whatever, they have, you know, they're there 24/7. You know what I mean? But yet the agencies are struggling to keep getting volunteers coming in and all that. And then on top of that, you've got places that keep increasing the training requirements to be an EMT and be a first responder and whatnot. And that also ends up, you know, hurting the volunteer agencies. So, you know, you're not paying people to be there. You're not paying people to take this training. And so you're getting a steady drop off in people that want to volunteer. But yet there's still that cost, you know, that, you know, Dave is well aware of that is involved with it, that you know, is not being reimbursed anywhere.
Yeah, well, I'll give you a quick summary of my take on this. I think you're making a good point in the sense that right now in EMS, in the volunteer systems, what happens is an alarm comes in, it gets dispatched, and in some places there are in-house crews.
Right.
And some places do a great job, and 24/7 they get out all the time right away. But that's not most places. What we do is we have an alarm and we sort of, by dispatch, we cast out the nets and hope that we catch a full crew. And hopefully with ALS, when you need ALS, which is almost all the time. But what the taxpayer may not know is that they are paying, and this is not just about EMS. I want you to know, because EMS and volunteer fire departments are fused at the hip. Where I am, they are fused at the hip. There are some of them are the same agents.
There's probably a lot of places. Yeah, there's probably a lot of places that are like
so,
that.
So, what I've been able to do is I take my tax form at the end of the year, my property tax form, and I flip it over, and it says, "Hey, this is how much money we spent on this fire department. This is how much we spent on this fire, because they're municipalities, you know, and this is how much money the municipalities paid for the volunteer ambulance corps, and some of the volunteer ambulance corps are just in the fire department." So as a little example, this year's tax for the town of Islip in Suffolk County, it's actually going to be more than this, but I looked at the back of the form, and in this town, which is one of 10 towns in Suffolk County, how much money do you think they spent on fire and ambulance tax money? How much tax money was collected from this one town of 10 in Suffolk County? I don't want to call it one-tenth of Suffolk County because it's one of the bigger towns. But let's just say, even if we think it's one-fifth of Suffolk County, how much money do you think they spent fire and ambulance, collected in taxes? I know you don't know, so I'm going to tell you.
Good.
Okay.
45, I was going to say like $1,500.
$45 million.
U.S.?
U.S.
No, it's Canadian.
$45 million.
Get better on the exchange rate.
So I did a little bit of computing, and this is what I do. I mean, not that I think this is the end all. I mean, people volunteer for the amount of money that they're spending in taxes, they ought to have 24/7 guaranteed fire, ambulance, and EMS that doesn't have to run down to the firehouse or to the ambulance. Yeah. Should be there in-house, ready and willing to go, because they're getting paid to it. So I take this $45 million, and let's take $5 million off the top. We're going to make that administrative and supervisory. You with me? Mm-hmm. All right. So now that leaves us only $40 million. And with this $40 million, I declare that because people volunteer to do this, they really all want to do this. They want to do this for a living, only if we could. Right? Not me, but only if we could. So if we said in Suffolk County, in the town of Islip, we're going to spend $66,000 for what I'm going to call, and it's not a unique idea, a firefighter /paramedic. Going to give them $66,000 in salary, $33,000 in benefits. That's what they tell me it costs. So that would be $100,000, right? You with me so far?
Yeah,
for a volunteer.
I know where you're going with
it. No, you don't. Okay. No, you don't, because where the volunteers have gone with this is, well, you know, we got 25,000 volunteers. You have any idea how much money this would cost us? That's not where I'm going. This is where I'm going. We could buy 400 full-time, 24/7 we could have, 400 paid firefighter one paramedics.
Right.
And let me tell you, they would line up from Islip to New Mexico to do that, to get the $66,000 with a pension and benefits to work full-time, 40 hours a week. Okay? And you wouldn't have 400 of them on 20.
$5 million a year.
No, I put the $5 million aside for something else.
But what about like equipment?
So let me start with this.
Oh. For 400, so that's $4 million.
That's $40 million. 400 people. 400 people. $100,000 a year a person.
Oh, right. Okay. All right. 400 people. Okay. Right. Gotcha.
Okay. And when you think about it, you put them enough so that they share the shift. You don't need 5,000 part-time come as you can, whenever you can, EMS firefighters. You need 400 people who are going to be there all the time.
But you realize what you do by that. Do you understand the ramifications? You've just talked your way out of a job.
No, I'm not talking my way out of a job at all. I'm talking about represent. I only represent taxpayers and sick people. I want a sick or injured person to get an ambulance immediately when they need it.
I got
not
that.
Not to go fishing.
But they wouldn't have volunteers anymore. You wouldn't paramedic.
I never said that. You could continue to volunteer, but that would be another story. Let me finish it up, okay? Along with that $45 million is some other money that the taxpayers don't know that they're paying, okay? For example, I'm a volunteer. I've been there long enough so that I get a 10% discount on almost all of my property taxes, including my school taxes, my fire department tax. Now, when that happens, when I pay 10% less, when I get dropped, when I drop, you know, $400 that I'm not paying to my school district, it's not that my school district does without the $400. They charge other people the $400. It gets spread out. So that maybe there's another $2 million in the town of Iceland that we're paying, you know, for the other people are paying to the, to make up for the fact that the volunteers aren't paying it, you know? So there's another $2 right. million. So we probably have another $7 million left over that could pay administrative stuff. Now you asked about equipment. Let me talk about equipment. In Nassau County and Suffolk County, with a population of less than 4 million people, we have more ambulances and fire trucks, including tower ladders you would not believe, than New York City and Los Angeles County combined. You could mothball these things, and when one fails, you could throw it away, and you wouldn't have to buy. We have 300. How many ambulances did I figure out? We have about 300 ambulances in Suffolk County, a little bit more. We have over 300 ambulances in Suffolk County. We have tower ladders that cost nearly $1 million a piece. We have over 100 of them. You know how many towering buildings we have?
None.
Yeah, well, no, that's not exactly true, but we have some. But we certainly have more than we need there. I think that we could have a terrific – paid system.
If I could just sum up the popularity of what you're saying, you want to raise –
There's no
taxes.
Popularity.
There's you want to raise taxes, you want to eliminate
Wait,
volunteer
I didn't
jobs,
say raise,
and you want
I didn't
to reduce.
Raise,
yeah, because you
I did
just
not
said
say raise taxes.
Well, the 10%.
No, we already did it. You don't understand. They're already paying it.
You're paying it from what? You're not raising the taxes. You're going to
the taxes
pay
are already there. That tax
already
money
already
is there.
Collected.
That tax money.
But they've already.
They're already
so
paying
Dave,
it. Yeah.
So Dave, so if let me ask you then, if they're collecting this $45 million already,
yes, they are,
and they're not paying it to pay for volunteers. I mean,
oh no,
well,
no,
pay
no,
for,
the volunteer systems, the volunteer systems spend it.
Right, I was going to ask you what the hell are they spending $45 million on every year.
Well, we have to have the
if they're not paying people to staff the ambulances and the firefighters, fire trucks 24/7. So then what are they using all that money for?
So,
not to mention the fact they have, I'm sure, individual fund drives and
now the fund
and,
drives the
and
fund
stuff
drives
like that.
are not for that. The fund drives are for we don't pay for training or equipment or firehouses with fund drive money. That's what tax money is for.
All right, so where is the money that you collect, you know, when you ask for donations and stuff like that? Where is that money going? Where is all this money going to? If you're not paying the
donation
to...
money, we can use it for whatever we want.
But you see, this is what's enraging, though, Dave,
it's
because
fiscal lube. You know, you
yes, I saw that commercial. I saw that.
You know, it's enraging, Dave, because I think about this a lot sometimes because I know I've worked places where I show up to a scene with volunteers and they have, you know, brand new, you know, state-of-the-art ambulances and equipment and stuff like that.
That's good.
And I don't, you know.
You should.
But what I'm saying is that you're talking about them having all this equipment that, you know, is top-of-the-line equipment that they could mothball because they're not using it.
It can't possibly be used. If,
you know,
if,
so
if
what's,
we
the,
were
what's
in
their a, purpose if, of getting it over and over, keep getting new stuff and all this stuff, you know, if it's not being used? It's almost like it's like this big club that everybody wants to be a part of. You want to volunteer, be part of this club, show up, wash these gorgeous vehicles, sit around, you know, and pick and choose the calls you go on. And, you know, maybe I'll show up on this call or maybe I'll show up on a call, but I'll definitely show up on the overturn and
right.
I'll definitely show up in a cardiac arrest. But that abdominal pain, I'm not sure. I'm watching the Super Bowl. I'm not sure I can make that one.
That's a true issue. Absolute issue.
You know,
and the dedicated folks show up on everything.
Well, that,
and there
and
are less
say,
dedicated folks as well. I
was just going to say, you've got a lot of times what ends up happening is you got the same 5 to 10 people
that's
that show
true.
Up on every call.
That's true.
And then everybody else that comes out of woodwork when there's like a big call that comes out.
Active maternity.
You know? So when you talk about paying people from taxes that get collected, you know, it's like, why wouldn't you pay those 5 or 10 people that show up on everything? Let them be the ones that get the, you know, the opportunity to be the paid members of that squad. And like you said, there could still be a place for volunteers if you could work that in somehow,
right.
You know?
Yep.
But make it to the point where they're staffed, you know, 24/7 so that you don't have to throw out this net. You don't have to wonder, are you going to get a crew together? I mean, I've been places where they send the ambulance to the call and it's just a driver. You know, they hope that the other people are going to show up in their private cars to the house to actually do patient care.
I think we're past that now because of the cell phones and technology. We always know who's going, you know. And sometimes it'll happen that you'll send an ambulance without an EMT on it, but they already know there's an EMT at the scene.
I'm talking recently, the past like, you know, 2-3 years that I used to hear the volunteers doing that.
I don't see that happening. I haven't seen that. Years
well, maybe
years
you
years.
Are different, but I mean,
but I also want to say one more thing.
Well-funded system.
We're well-funded because we have a tax base. I want to say
the tax base isn't the only reason. You know, it's a tax base isn't the only reason that you're well-funded.
Yes, it is. I mean,
how many municipalities?
It's the amount. Wait, it's. When you say a tax base, what you and I are referring to two different things. The idea that you can take taxes from the community to pay for these things is the reason why ISLIP is a well-funded system. Okay, but Jim, I know he's referring to another state in which he
sure.
worked as a paramedic, where the EMTs are largely, if not wholly, volunteers.
Right.
Because
they're
the
raising money
figures,
literally for their own uniforms and for their own ambulance.
Exactly. And so they show up and they show up in these.
They have a bake sale every Friday.
Some of them have great stuff, but they don't staff the buses. And then, you know, so what you're going to get when you're a paid paramedic in these systems, you will go out there with no knowledge of what your backup is going to be.
In some systems, I imagine that's true.
Not every system is getting the tax base, though.
That's true. But I need to say one thing before you cut me off with this. I don't think the volunteers in the system that I work in, and I'm not just talking about my department. I don't think the volunteers in my system are bad people. I don't think they're out to get the taxpayer. I don't think they're fully aware of how much money is spent on them. Very few people. When I ask my colleagues, I said, "How much do you think we spent on in the town of Iceland?" Not, you know, how much do you think we spent? And they go, oh, you know, like $5 million. They like fall out of their shoes when I tell them, yeah, no, it was $45 million plus another $2 million on the side. I don't think they know that. And they've been misled by people in the politics of volunteerism who said, you know, yes, we got 25,000 volunteers. You know what it would cost to replace them? Take the 25,000 and multiply it by 100,000. That's how much it's going to go. It's not. You would never replace 25,000 of them. You wouldn't need them. You wouldn't need 25,000. You only need 25,000 volunteers to do the job of, you know, 1,500 paid folk. That's the way it works. We got life members who never respond. And I also want to say yet one more thing, just because not everything is equal throughout the town of Islip. The fire departments have a tax base. The volunteer ambulance corps beg for money from the town. And the volunteer ambulance corps, one of them does like 3,800 calls a year, which is a substantial number. And they do that on $900,000 a year. And right next to them, actually in the same place, because they work in the same place, the fire department, which has a tax base, gets $2.3 million a year, responds to 400 calls, and they perhaps have not seen a real fire in years. Because we just don't have a lot of fires. Technology has brought us away from having fires. We don't have the brush fires. When I moved out here, we had fires that would go on for days. We don't have that anymore either. Smoke detectors, great technology, has reduced the amount. And that's good. We still need fire departments. But a fusion fire department paramedic group out here that was paid for 24/7, you'd still have people volunteering, and they would be true volunteers. And the system would have a guaranteed response, which we do not have right now, because we do not have a system. We have over 100 agents here.
I think in any place you go, I think that you've got to figure a way to, I mean, the volunteers, you know, they like you said, a lot of politics when it comes in talking about the volunteers and any system, you know, they don't want to let go of that, you know, that rice bowl. You know what I mean? They're protecting that bowl of rice as much as they can.
Just a quick, Dave, how many calls for $2.3 million, how many calls do they do a year?
About 400.
So that's $5,000, almost $6,000 a call.
Most of them are automatic alarms.
Right.
That are accidental trips, you know?
So the county pays the township pays just to have them roll to a cross street location.
They are their own municipality.
So they pay $6,000 just to get them out of the house.
How about that?
Roughly once a day.
How about that?
$6,000 every time they roll out of the house just to start it up.
No, they pay the $6,000 whether it rolls or not. There you go. That's what, you know, that's the way it is. If they had zero calls, it would cost the same. I know you're trying to itemize it. It's not a system that's efficient. It's not one that's even fair or balanced.
You see, the thing that you hear and that you see a lot when people talk about paid versus volunteer and rural areas can never afford paid EMS. You know, there's not enough calls.
Well, they
to
always say
it.
They can't.
You know,
pay.
It's all this stuff. But the thing is that to me, something has to be done. And if you have where you're paying taxes for it anyway, you can have people pay taxes, you know, specifically for it, then you have the paid, you know, 24/7 coverage, so you don't have to worry about when you're sick that someone's going to show up or not show up, and then you can somehow implement the volunteers for the, you know, in a way that is more structured, so it's not this throw the net out and hopefully somebody, you know, goes. And like you said, Dave, I think that if you have people that don't want to respond to calls, and they just, you want to use these you know, a volunteer EMS or you know, as a way to hang out someplace mm-hmm. or be a life member of something, you know, then you know what? You're a life member, but, you know, you're not going to be responding to calls.
Right.
Join
and,
them
and they often don't. However, we still have to insure them. Because on the chance that they want to respond to a call, should they choose to.
But that's what I'm saying. There has to be a better structure.
I would agree.
People,
something like an associate member. You're a life member. You can come down and hang out all the time, but you may never respond again.
Yeah, because you have to be able to tell people, listen, you know, you have to sign up for X amount of shifts.
You know,
be present at the building.
Not for nothing. If you were volunteering at a hospital or the library, all right? If you were volunteering there and you volunteered there for a while and then you sort of ran out of time, they wouldn't let you hang out there.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, it's not a hangout.
It's not. And I do want to say that somebody did, and I'm sure more than one person, but I don't know if you guys are familiar with John Politis.
Yeah.
John Politis was the director of EMS for New York State for a while, many, many years back. He's a great guy. Does the conferences. And he climbs the Great Tetons. But he took the town of Colony, and he merged them, the volunteers and the paid folk. And if you went there, if you went to their headquarters, you would not be able to discern who was a volunteer and who was paid by looking at them. And everybody was held to the same standard of response.
And that's the way it should be.
It absolutely should be that way.
I mean, where I am now, and some of the fire stations where I am, you have a mixture of the people that are there who are paid and volunteer, and you can't tell the difference.
Should be that way.
You know, but in order to become a paid firefighter, you've got to volunteer first for a certain period of time to be eligible to get a paid slot.
That's an interesting way of doing it.
You know,
but if you don't volunteer and you're just really good. So a guy like you, what if you showed up in that town and you wanted to be a medic? Can't do it, got to volunteer for a few years?
I guess that's what they do.
How sad would that be, huh?
Well, I mean, I guess they look at it as sort of like you're making your bones and proving yourself. And,
yeah, an internship, all right.
You know what I mean?
Apprenticeship.
But I still think, though, if you're volunteering to – as part of a paid agency to be there and to make yourself eligible for a paid spot, they're not making you do it where it's like your full-time job, where you're there, you know, 5 days a week and all that type of stuff. You know, I mean, when I volunteered for EMS, when I first started out, I volunteered and I had to sign up for the shift. I had to sign up for it and it would be 4-hour blocks of time, you know? So you would volunteer for 4 hours at a time. And you'd have to sign up for that shift, you know, and you show up in uniform and you're there and you wait. And if you get a call, great. And if you didn't, you didn't get a call, you know. And I think too many places are just winging it, you know, and it's a shame when you think about that there is a cost to the taxpayer, you know, for it. And I just don't think that the taxpayers are really aware of the fact that there's a chance that if they have a heart attack, there's going to be a delay somebody getting there.
Yep.
You know, or there might even be a possibility that nobody's going to get there.
It happens. It's been in the newspaper here lately.
And it's like nobody wants to explain it, but then again, the volunteers, the politics of it, you know, they have, you know, their pull and their ways of doing things like you said, Dave. Oh, my God, yeah, you're talking about putting paid now because somebody had a heart attack? Well, that's a once-in-a-blue-moon thing, you know. That never really happened. If you ever got rid of the paid volunteers, that's 25,000 people. You know what it would take to pay, you know what I mean? And then they frighten shit out of the general public to say, okay, well, we can't afford that. I mean, there's no way the county can pay for that much.
Yeah, the politicians are also afraid we'll circle the county center with fire trucks and start a protest, you know?
Yeah, right, exactly.
Literally.
So, I mean, listen, I think this argument goes on and on and on and on. I mean, you can take it from, I think, 100 different directions on the you know, and like we said in the beginning, Dave, I have nothing against volunteers. I know what their goal is for most of them.
Right.
They're, you know, what, they're good where people. Their heart is.
They're good
right,
people.
Where their heart is, what they want to do. To me, it's this volunteer system itself that isn't working anymore. You know, years and years ago, it worked. It was a different world at that time.
And it was the only thing we had.
Yeah, and now it's just not. And you get people who say, well, volunteers are holding back the EMS because you're not going to get paid more as long as you have people willing to do it for free. You know, all this type, those types of arguments. You know, the whole supply-demand nonsense. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I guess there's truth to that. But there's also the factor of people that volunteer and they like to volunteer, you know, at the same time they like to provide for their families, you know. So people that usually used to volunteer in the past, now they're working two jobs, you know, or both people in the household are working.
Exactly what we're finding. Yep, you're right.
Yeah, so both people in the household are working. They don't have time to volunteer. Somebody has to be working and somebody's going to be taking care of the kids or someone's going to be cooking dinner or doing the food shopping or whatever. You know what I mean? So the time isn't there anymore. And I think that, you know, sometimes the volunteers, the people that volunteer have to sort of embrace the fact that it just doesn't work like it used to. And they have to either morph into something like, you know, like you said, where it's sort of like a mixture of the two, you know, and where you can't tell the difference between the, you know, who's a volunteer and who's paid, so that people that want to do it can still do it, you know, because you get people who are lawyers and stuff and you know, teachers and everything else that like to volunteer, that like to give back, that enjoy doing EMS, but at the same time know that, hey, I make a lot more money as a lawyer than I would as an EMT, but I like being an EMT. So you can still give them that opportunity, you know, and especially in the rural places, but, you know, kind of face the music that it just doesn't work like it used to. You know, this conversation and this podcast, and if you look anywhere online, you know, you'll get people who volunteer will jump down your throat about how professional they are and how much more they do than they're paid. And we train this and we train that. And you know, my community can never afford to have full time and all this stuff, you know, and it's just, and it's like, you know, you can go back and forth with it forever.
But,
you know,
I mean, almost, I think, within the math that Dave laid out earlier, there's some extrapolation that you can use for any community that wants to provide EMS. Now, we're only talking about communities that want to provide it, because if you're a community that doesn't provide it, well, you know, then obviously the point's moot. But I'm just wondering, Jim, you used the phrase earlier that, you know, it's broken now. It may have worked in the past, but it's broken now. And I'm really wondering if it ever worked in the past, because, or if it worked, it worked to standards that have changed. And I think that's really the dynamic.
I could definitely, okay? Well, like I said earlier on too, even the standards of training, there's so much more training that's expected from EMTs and you know, that goes on now compared to the way that it was.
So
that even that alone, you knock out people that want to do it that can't do it because they can't keep up with the training.
So what really has to enter the community argument is to say, if you want these services, which most people want, okay, this is what you have to do. You can no longer run this on a volunteer system, because the math simply isn't there. The funding doesn't make sense in a volunteer system.
Yeah, but and I agree with you. But you know, the thing is, you've got the volunteer higher ups that are the,
well,
you know,
you've got the
that, as much a politician as anything
absolutely.
Else that's going against you.
There's a number one rule, and we see it in politics anytime. Every time. When there's money on the table, people are going to fight over it, no matter how little an interest they have in the actual subject.
You have to have this education campaign that goes out to the general public, you know, in order to make those changes. And a lot of times that campaign can't just be, we want to get rid of volunteers and stop paying people. You've got to have, you know, that structure in place and explain to them A to Z what the changes are going to be and what the benefits of those changes are, how it affects them, you know, how it's going to benefit them as the public. You know, because all they hear is, "What do you mean? Now you're now I got to pay to have somebody on an ambulance? Now I don't want to do that." You need to break it down for them to explain to them, you know, all the realities of it, and that would have to include things like response times and time that trucks didn't get out and things like that. And who's going to provide that information? The volunteers aren't going to, offer up that info because it's going to make them look bad. You know, they're going to protect it. They're going to, you know, keep banging that drum about how great they are and about how warm-hearted they are. And you're trying to take away, you know, this American pastime of volunteerism without really, you know, kind of focusing on the issue at hand and explain to them that back in the day it might have worked better, but the times have changed, you know. I mean, look at your friggin' pocket and you've got the smartphone, for crying out loud. I mean, you got people now, they have these apps now where they're trying to do this thing where they have got people who sign up, have an app, and then when somebody goes into cardiac arrest, they get a goddamn text message telling them that someone's dead around the corner. And they can go there and be a bystander CPR until EMS or first responders get there.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So you've got that element, you know, of technology coming into place, but then you've got, you know, the volunteers, and the volunteer system is still stuck in the Stone Age and clinging to this model that just doesn't work anymore.
Well,
you know,
it might be working somewhere.
Necessarily. It might be working somewhere, but I think the places that it might work might be, you know, I don't know. Anybody you can talk to that says that their system works with volunteers, you can probably find, you know, 5 to 10 other places who say that it's not working.
Oh, sure.
Or even paid people within that same system who say they're full of shit, it's not working. I work in that place. They never get out. You know, they pick and choose their calls. Or when they do get out, there's one person, and they count that as a response. You know, stuff like that. So you don't know without seeing numbers, or, you know, without seeing stats, without seeing it for yourself. And a lot of what I talk about on the show, my take on volunteers, goes by what I've seen with volunteers in, you know, 3-4 different places. And it, to me, it's always been the same. So I'm going by, you know, there's a certain theme that I've seen go on with volunteers, you know what I mean? So it's not like I'm saying I'm basing on one town someplace. I'm basing on, you know, four or five different places that I've worked where I've seen, you know, how it works, and I've seen, you know, what goes on, and that negative aspect of it, which is the same thing that I see other people complain about across the country. But then you saw the people who come back and say, no, we don't, you know, that doesn't happen that way. We respond to every call, you know, we're the greatest since sliced bread. You know, I don't care what you say. We're more professional, you know.
That happens amongst the paid groups too, just so you know.
Oh, yeah, of course. My place is the best.
Of course.
You know. Listen, I don't want to go. We've been going for about an hour now, so I'm going to keep going with it. But again, this is the type of thing.
You don't want to keep going bashing volunteers?
I don't want to think I'm bashing them, because it's not about the people that volunteer. It's the system itself that's not working. And then, you know, and Dave bringing up his points today, I wonder how many places out there that the taxpayers are already being taxed for it and they don't even realize it, you know. And it's like this, you know, this little secret that's not been told, and yet, you know, response times and you know, people turning out for calls is still shaky, you know.
Yep.
And that they can take that money and maybe make it a mixed system somehow, you know what I mean? And you know, break it down so that, I mean, because the bottom line is too, that even if you're paying taxes for it and you're getting that money, nothing's stopping them from billing for the freaking services anyway, making and getting money back to pay for the other shit that they have to pay for.
Yep.
You know.
I'm not going to argue with you. I mean, that's...
Listen, the argument
gotta
is...
Got to get the money from somewhere. If you don't get it from insurance, if you don't get it from taxes, you got to get it from somewhere.
The money has to come from somewhere. The community has to be willing to pay for services they want. You know, this. How come we never have this argument when it comes to sanitation? You know, because you know, snow removal.
But I think a lot of that stuff is more immediate. You know, people don't think about EMS until you need the EMS.
A week goes by without sanitation. Your house
is full of water. Wait a second. They don't. Yeah. They don't. They pay for fire. I mean, I understand a lot of systems have fire and EMS combined. We're not even going to go there. But fire, there's no
fire,
question.
Police,
right?
Yeah, right. Police? There's no question. Okay. Oh, you got to have fire. We got to have that. Police, you got to have police.
Right.
You know, you got to have that.
We'll reduce ourselves down to a burning anarchy.
Well, EMS are volunteers, aren't they? Aren't they volunteers?
Right, exactly.
You know.
And I think it's about time that we sort of step up to the plate and, you know, move in the direction nurses have done. And the only reason nurses have gotten there is because they, you know, came together and spoke as one voice. You know, there's something like 50 lobbyists on Washington, on Capitol Hill for nursing. There's one part-time lobbyist for EMS. That's for the entire country. You know, as long as we're in that game, we'll never get out of the situation we're in. We'll never win the argument.
No, I know. And again, this show is not going to solve the volunteer issue by any stretch of the imagination. You know, but. I just feel like, you know, I hope that anyone listening to the show doesn't take it that we're bashing volunteers, that we're anti-volunteer. And we all, well, the three of us have volunteered or still volunteer, you know. So it's not about that. It's about thinking about the you know, how it, you can even just sit back and think about how it reflects on the profession when, you know, somebody's having a heart attack or there's a car accident and they're waiting for EMS and you're struggling to get enough people to respond, you know, and it just takes one of those times for it not to respond to get a shitload of negative PR that reflects on the entire, you know, profession. You know what I mean? It doesn't just reflect on just one little place, especially if it's something really bad, you know? So I think that there has to be some sort of, you know, movement towards, you know, getting it paid and making the public understand in the costs involved with it, you know, and unfortunately, a lot of times I think they're not going to understand until something negative does happen, you know. Then they're like, okay, we got to get a paid thing here, you know. And sometimes that paid thing, you know, and the thing that ends up happening for some places is that paid thing ends up being a commercial agency that just moves in and provides an ambulance to sit there on the corner, you know.
Right. Well, they figure out how to make a profit out of it.
Yeah. You know, they offer, hey, you don't got to pay anything. We'll put it there. Just give us permission. You know, we'll put the ambulance on the corner. You don't got to pay anything. We'll provide the ambulance. Just give us a building to sit in. You know, kick those lazy volunteers out.
Oh, yeah, you had to say that, huh?
I'm just kidding. All right, guys, let me end it there. Like, again, I think we can probably definitely pick up on this conversation down the road. Maybe we get some feedback from people listening to the show and their take on it and, you know, go from there and, you know, kind of feed off on some of the commentary we get from people that listen to this episode and you know, take their commentary into consideration and give our thoughts on it as well so we can, you know, maybe move forward and make this sort of, maybe we'll take a little piece of every show and make a little bit of a commentary on, you know, on the volunteer paid, you know, system fixing upper stuff.
Okay.
You know, something like that, you know. All right, guys. Anything you want to end with before I close it out? Josh, Dave, I know you guys are pretty busy these days.
No. It sounds, it all sounds good. I mean, if you're in the Northeast, be careful. Watch for black ice, do the guard, and keep warm.
Exactly.
I agree.
If you're in the southern states, well, stop rubbing it in, okay?
Thank you. All right, guys. All right. Anyone have any questions, comments, concerns, be sure to send them over to me. It's contact@emsofficehours.com. Please go to iTunes and rate us and leave a comment there. It's emsseo.com/iTunes. And you can go ahead and check us out there, subscribe to the show, and leave us some comments and some ratings there on iTunes. We would love that as well. Until next week, as always.
Yeah.